Amen. Thank you, Niani and Ken and Chip. Appreciate you leading us in worship this morning. Awesome. What a wonderful name it is. I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 3. We're just going to be there for a couple verses, but you can also look in your outline. I'm going to be referring to a lot of scriptures in your outline. I'm just going to look at two verses to start off with as we continue to go through this book, this wonderful book of Luke. You know, I was trying to send a text message this week on my phone, and I sent the text, and then I get this little message that says, trying to reconnect, message not sent, and the little circle that's just going on and on and on. It's like, oh, man. And you just kind of wait, okay, is it going to connect? And it's like 5 minutes later, nothing happens. So you try and do it again, and you know, have you ever had problems like that? Like I've sent text messages and it's a message not sent. And I kind of remember, oh, especially when I'm expecting messages, you know, like Diana gets a text and I didn't get it. How come you got it and I didn't? I should have gotten that. Well, you should have, you know. And it's like, oh, reboot my phone. You know, you ever had to do that? Like they tell you, reboot, restart your phone. We do that on computers. You know, all the time. It gets hung up for some reason or things are moving slow, and a reboot just kind of resets everything, clears out the cache and some other things, and gives us a fresh restart. And in our passage today, Jesus gets a spiritual reboot of sorts because he's taken another path to ministry here. He's going in a different direction. And so as we look at these verses, we're going to start in verse 21 of Luke chapter 3. Before we do, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity to just dive into your word and to allow the truth of your word to just speak to us, to just seep into us. Lord, it is powerful. The name of Jesus is powerful. The words of Jesus, the words of Scripture, your words are powerful as well. And so, Lord, we kind of want to be open. We kind of want to be real and allow your Spirit to touch us and to move us to become more like Jesus. That's our goal. And so, Lord, as we look at things this morning, open up our eyes, open up our hearts, for us to see what you want us to see. And Lord, my personal prayer is that my words do not get in the way of your truth here this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 3, verse 21, it says this, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. I want you to watch this video, if you would.
Mom, where are your keys?
I'm packing my purse.
She says I'm goodness gracious, will you clean out this first? There's just such junk in here.
Here, give it to me.
Oh,
what in the world?
Hey, that's my purse and my purse.
My purse.
These help Dad with the menu.
Oh, I need some of that.
Ooh, I want candy. No, not candy. These are for Tammy. For when she has her coffee episodes.
Hey, girl. Why do you need my purse?
Keep moving. Okay, so about your slope. Careful, it's Mom's prayer book.
It hits the spot. Here's the sketch of all day.
It's just her purse, it's falling into her closet.
It's like a bottomless pit. I give up.
Huh?
Fruit snacks!
Everyone's chapsticks.
Sneaker sharing is gross. Ruby's earplugs. Also gross. Dad's screwdriver.
Does she even know how to use that?
I think you forgot to use that.
Her dad's also free for flashcards.
Okay.
Wallet.
Thank you.
She's broke. She even owns keys.
How could she when a person's with everything that takes care of everyone else?
Okay, Mom. I see you.
Found it. Should we put all this stuff back?
Nah, Mom will do it.
I like that video. It's a good picture, a good little video of encouragement. We go to Mom's, we go to Mom's purse, and they seem to have everything that we need. We receive the support and encouragement whenever we need it. In our scripture passage this morning, it is a picture of encouragement. Jesus, here in getting this spiritual reboot, he receives this word of encouragement from his heavenly Father. He's been a carpenter. He's been in the construction business for most of his life. And probably lately, he had been taking care of his family. Some scholars say that's why, because we haven't heard of Joseph in Jesus' adult life, because Joseph probably had died. Maybe Jesus had stepped in and took on the responsibility of raising the family, and they finally got to the point where they could be on their own. And so now Jesus is ready to step out into this new venture that God has prepared him for. He's ready to begin his public ministry. The whole purpose of his life has led up to this moment, 30 years of preparation. Now, we talk about Jesus being God, but we also know that Jesus was fully a human being. And Jesus had feelings like we do. And so he needed confirmation and validation and encouragement for this unique mission that he was about to embark on. And we read here that Jesus is praying, and when he's praying, heaven opens up and he hears the voice from heaven. Now, Luke doesn't tell us if anybody else hears this voice or anybody else sees the Spirit descend like a dove or if it's just Jesus, but what he hears is crucial for his ministry. It is crucial for Jesus' ministry. And he is reminded that he is God's son, that he's loved by his heavenly Father, and that God is pleased with him. It's like God has given him his stamp of approval for what Jesus is about to do. And I think there are numerous times when Jesus looked back onto this moment as he encountered various events in his ministry. He looked back on this moment whenever he was encountered Satan and was tempted by the devil. I think he looked back on this moment whenever he encountered opposition from the religious leaders or when he was with the disciples and they didn't get what he was trying to teach him and he just wanted to give up, but he just hung in there. Or I think he looked back on this moment when he was just tired and worn out from doing ministry and he looked back on this moment with fondness when that voice from heaven said, "You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." Let me ask you, when you were growing up, did you ever have someone who spoke encouragement into your life? Do you have someone in your life who does that today? Man, that's so, so important. I want to encourage you, parents and grandparents, if you're here, to speak words and tons of words of encouragement into the life of your children and your grandchildren. When you do that, you're like God. Okay? You get that? Like in this passage of Scripture, that was what God is doing to his son. We become like God when we do that, and it is so beneficial and begins to shape our children and our grandchildren. We can remember those past times. Remembering these times of encouragement in our life are vital whenever we encounter challenges in life. And here's where it becomes important. This is why this passage of Scripture is important. And I would just plead with you to lock in and pay attention to these points. Because we can too easily just devolve into spiritual self-doubt whenever we run into problems in our life. And we just start saying, why is all this happening to me? What did I do? Is God paying me back? I heard it just a couple days ago from someone. Is God paying me back for what I have done here? Is God mad at me? Is this why this is happening? I must have let God down, and he's so disappointed in me. And so what we're afraid to take spiritual steps because we've blown it before. And so we just kind of think, well, God's disappointed at me. This is just who I am, and I have, and we settle, right? We settle. And when we live life with these kind of thoughts, it's a drag on our life. It becomes a drag. There's no way we can experience the abundant life that Jesus talked about if we have these type of thoughts in our life. So, from time to time, we need a spiritual reboot. Okay? We need to restart our Christian life with the basics, just like Jesus did right here. As he jumped out into a new ministry, he had a spiritual reboot from the voice in heaven telling him three basic truths which will help us to make a spiritual reboot. The first thing the voice says is this: you are my son. And the first truth is this: I am a child of God. I have access to kingdom advantages. Wonderful truth. Would you say that with me? I am a child of God. Ready? I am a child of God. Okay? Now, I don't do that very often, but when you hang out with an African-American guy, you know, you start doing stuff like that. So he's rubbing off on me, okay? But I am a child of God. You remember a number of years ago, there was a American Express credit card. They used to have a slogan. Remember? Membership has its privileges, right? You all remember that. If you're a child of God, you have privileges in being a child of God. Look how the Apostle Paul explained this in Romans chapter 8. Now, this is not, it's not going to be on the screen, but this is in your outline. I want to encourage you to follow along because it's better to hear it and read it at the same time, okay? Here's what Paul says: for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. Now, what Paul is talking about there, he actually used a Roman legal term to describe when guys had been adopted into a family. You know, and they became legal heirs then of that family. Didn't happen to females. That's why he says sonship there. Okay? Didn't happen to females back then. And so Paul uses this legal term to become an heir. And then he continues, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, he said, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. And so Paul's saying, listen, we are children of God. We've been adopted into God's family. And now he begins to say, guess what? We are then heirs. We're heirs of God. Everything that God owns, we have access to because we belong to him. I have access. First of all, I have access to God. Right, I can go to God knowing that I'm his child and that he hears me. I can share with him all kinds of stuff and know that he hears me and that he cares about me. As the children mentioned, what are some of the privileges here? We got peace from God. We can go through trials and understand, you know what? We give it over to God. We can get, and the scripture says, I will give you a peace that people don't understand. That is a peace beyond comprehension. God gives us peace. God gives us joy. The sense that, you know what, the junk that I'm going through, this isn't going to last forever. I've got something greater that is ahead. That's that Jesus joy. That is part of what we have access to. We have access to God's wisdom through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give us strength to get through difficult times. Sometimes we've been through stuff and we just say, I don't know how I got through that. Yeah, I do. Holy Spirit. Amen. So Holy Spirit just kind of, you know, gives us enough to get through, right? And then we have access to God's wisdom. The Bible says that we can connect to the mind of God. What? Well, if I take time and hang out with God, God begins to speak to me and I can start making decisions that are more wise than I have in the past, right? Now, I didn't even begin to talk about heaven, right? When we die, we get to be with Jesus and we get new bodies. That's a privilege as well. Those of you who remember the musical Annie, okay, it's a great picture of becoming an heir of God when Annie moves from that orphanage into Warbucks Mansion. It's an incredible change for her. She leaves behind a spiteful, alcoholic caretaker and enters into a relationship with a caring father. She goes from having no possessions to having a fortune at her disposal. And that hard-knock life is overcome by the brightness of a sunny tomorrow. This is what we are given. We have access to the advantages. So first thing to remember, I'm a child of God, and I've been adopted into God's family and have access to kingdom advantages. Second truth that is spoken there, the voice says, "You are my son whom I love." Here's the second truth. God loves me, and God is committed to my well-being. God always has my best interest at heart. That's a truth we need to understand. Paul again in Romans chapter 8. Here's what he talks about. Look at what he says. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? God was willing to do the hardest thing, to stand by and watch his own son die on the cross for us. He's willing to do the hardest thing and then to give us whatever we need. Not whatever we want, but whatever we need. God loves us, and so God gives to us. He continues, verse 33, who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? Nobody. Nobody condemns us. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither present, nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What is Paul telling us right there? God has nothing against you. God has nothing against you. God is on your side. God is for you. So when you experience personal trauma in life, it's not punishment. It's not God saying, you should have made the other choice. I'm bringing the hammer down. God is not paying you back. God is good. Amen. Write that down. God is good. God loves us all the time. God is committed to your well-being. And then finally, the voice from heaven says, you are my son whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Here's the third truth, which helps us in the spiritual reboot, and that is God likes me. God wants to hang out with me. That's a wonderful thing. How many of you have that? Don't raise your hand here. How many of you have that odd relative in your family? Put your hand down, Jason. I said nobody raised their hand. You can't do anything about David. He just, yeah. But we have examples, that person in our family who we're obligated to love, right? Good old Uncle Charlie's gonna be Uncle Charlie. You gotta love him, we say, because he's family. Right? I sometimes wonder if we think that that's how God looks at us. God just tolerates me. God loves me. I know God loves me because he has to. All right, God has to love me. But sometimes we wonder, God doesn't always like me. Maybe God just puts up with me because he knows I can do better and I don't. And I've messed up spiritually. I can be better spiritually and I don't. He gives me chance after chance after chance to make an improvement, better version of myself, and I keep failing time after time. And so a lot of us will say, yeah, God loves me, but like me? Not so much. But the beautiful thing is that Scripture says different. Scripture paints a picture of a God who likes his created beings. Psalm 149:4 says this, "For the Lord takes delight in his people." This is where I want to begin to see smiles on people's faces, right? Psalm 37:23 says this, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives." He delights in every detail of your life. Now, the Hebrew word for delight there means this. It means to incline to bend down to. So do you get the picture that's painted there? Okay? I think of my grandchildren as they're playing with Legos. And Miller May says, "Pap, look at this. What do? And I incline and I pay attention and I ask her questions and she's telling me what everything is. And it's like, whoa, what a picture. That's God delighting in us, bending down towards us and taking an interest in our lives, every detail of our life. This is what God is like. Jesus invites us in Revelation 3:20. Another passage of Scripture. Jesus says this, "Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open up the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends." This is what Jesus is all about. Jesus just says, "Hey, let's do lunch. I just want to hang out with you." That's what Jesus is all about. Get that picture in your mind. This is what our God is like. You are a child of God. God loves you. God likes you. And he wants to hang out with you. Now, it's important to point out what Jesus was doing when he heard all of this. Okay? What was he doing when he heard the voice? You look at verse 21. "And as he was praying." So Jesus is fellowshipping with his heavenly Father. And while he's in prayer, while he's fellowshipping with his God, God reminds him about all these truths. "I love you. You're my son. I like you. I'm pleased with what you're doing." What a lesson for us. You get the lesson here, okay? That we need to spend time in solitude and in prayer and in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. This is where, all these things are great. These are truths. But in order for these truths to go deep into our life, we need to spend time with God and hang out with God. Otherwise, we won't fool. Otherwise, when the junk hits, we're going to forget them. But when we hang out with God, we are reminded of these truths. I can't tell you how many times I've sat on my back patio in the mornings. Now that it's nice out, I can do it in the mornings. And I sit and I read the scriptures and I just sit and do nothing, basically, except maybe talk to God, listen to God. And you know what? I have been encouraged in those moments. I've received wisdom. Do this. Oh, I gotta write that down. All right? This is how all this works. I finish with this. Did you ever buy a raffle ticket? And a big raffle ticket, like they're giving away a car or a trip somewhere, And you say, oh, I'd like to win this, you know, and it's expensive, you know, $5 a ticket or something like this, you know. And so you go ahead and you're ready to buy the ticket, and then you read on the ticket, it says this: winner must be present to win. All right, we're going to draw next Friday, we're drawing next Friday, you know, winner must be present to win. And you kind of think, oh, I mean, I need to come back to another event, you know, just to see if I won. And that's the same thing with these truths. You must be present with God to win. You must be present with God in order to fully take in. The truths are still going to be the truths of God. Those things don't change. But for them to really take effect in our life, you need to be present with God. But the wonderful truth is, folks, you are a child of God. God loves you, and God likes you and wants to hang out with you. Would you bow your head, please? And in this time of silence, what I just want those truths to wash over you, that you are a child of God, that God loves you, and that God likes you. During your time together with God, is there anything that God is asking you to do to move forward in your life? Father God, we thank you for these truths of Scripture. God, we pray that you would open up our eyes to fully understand that we are your children, that you love us, that you like us. God, give us courage to live out our lives according to these truths, just like Jesus did. God, would you show us the changes that we need to make in our lives so that we might fully live as your children. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.